Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, everyone. Welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we have no agenda, only to seek the truth. And we've got a very busy show for you on this Thursday. We're going to be looking at the imminent destruction of Gaza and the mass censorship policy that Benjamin Netanyahu, or Milikowski, whatever you want to call him, his stage name is Benjamin Netanyahu, has just decided to roll out. He said, we really got to go after Gen Z. They do not like the term genocide being used on social media. The algorithms are bothering Netanyahu. They really want to go after mass censorship to really hide what's about to happen in Gaza City with these 60,000 troops that are about to invade and destroy that entire area. So we're going to look at that.
Plus, President Trump is saying no more mail-in ballots. He's going to end this. Well, can he do that? We're going to talk to South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson about this, about how voter fraud is real, but what can the federal government do about it? Plus the case that just was released, President Trump now going to have to get that money back that AG Letitia James came after him for. That seemed like it was a no-brainer, so we're going to discuss that. Plus, Democrats absolutely found floundering, bleeding viewers. Is this redistricting going to help them? What's going to happen now?
We're also going to talk about the hidden tunnels under Washington, D.C. and the massive complex there. President Trump calling for a massive audit of the Smithsonian Institution and a clampdown on really the demonic Satanists that are running Washington, D.C. We've been vindicated because earlier last week on the show, we talked about this move by federalizing the police force in Washington, D.C., going after the criminality there. But was this really sort of a backdoor operation to go after really the deep state operatives that are in the tunnels around Washington, D.C. and controlling Washington, D.C.? So we're going to talk more deeply about that today because, yes, we've been vindicated with some new revelations we're going to talk about on the show today. Let us know where you guys are joining us from. Free, and by the way, you can get your super chats in now. Here's one. Thank you for your $10 super chat. Free Men Die says, the global meat grinder is inbound. Are you talking about like a World War III? U.S. civilians, why does it keep disappearing so quickly? Let me put that quiet. U.S. civilians are against Zionism, Uncle Sam, and against all the other enemies that seek to destroy us in our time of mass deceit. Prepare accordingly. All right. Well, on that positive note, but thank you for your super chat. We appreciate it. Well, let's talk about this. Israel has a big problem on its hands. The truth is getting out, and their lies are crumbling right before their eyes. This all comes as Israel's full invasion of Gaza City is about to unfold, forcibly displacing close to 1 million people, carrying out the systematic demolitions of Palestinian homes, what's left of them. So they absolutely need the full propaganda to be in full swing. Newly leaked data from the Israeli military. This isn't Hamas. This is newly leaked data from the Israeli military. Classified data that was just leaked shows that 83% of every person, man, woman, and child killed in Gaza has been a civilian. Even Palestinian numbers that have been released from the Palestinian side are not that bad. But that's because Israel has more accurate numbers because they still have buildings and offices and electricity and computers and running water, so they can keep a better tabulation of these numbers. So 83%, you were not meant to see this data. Thanks to the Israeli military, though it's leaked out. Gotta wonder if there's somebody in the Israeli military that's like, people need to see this. This, and there's been a lot of whistleblowers inside the Israeli military, by the way. This is why Satan himself, Benjamin Netanyahu, again, that's his stage name, is now saying mass censorship of social media needs to take place. The algorithms are the problem on social media, he says. This is how you hide the truth. We need to really fix Gen Z because they're the big problem, he says.
You know, it's very hard to find to fight the deception, the lies, the starved children. The pictures of starved children are turned out to have cerebral palsy or other congenital diseases that leave them emaciated. And Israel is, of course, accused of starving children, pretty much the way that in the Middle Ages Jews were accused of killing Christian children for their blood. So, what do you do against the lie that circles the earth 10 times before the truth has a chance to emerge? You have to shorten the war as speedily as possible. And frankly, we also have to do something about the algorithms and the social networks. This is a big challenge. I don't want to dismiss it.
Yeah, it's a big
challenge. Well, yes, he's right. You can end the war. You can stop it. That's one thing. The first thing I've ever agreed with him on.
But the other option is to just use propaganda and hide the algorithms, or manipulate the algorithms, or get companies to censor content.
Clayton, do you recall being told that Putin did this? That Putin was messing with our algorithm in Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Do you recall that we were supposed to be upset about that?
Yeah.
Why are we not?
I remember members of Congress saying, Putin's manipulating our algorithms.
Right.
He's manipulating our social media.
This guy can do it.
But
Putin,
this is fine.
He didn't.
But
we were supposed to be upset about it. But this guy, we're going to let him say that.
Well, he wants to do this because more and more Americans are using the word genocide. A new YouGov poll shows that a majority of Americans, 58% to 33%, believe every country in the United Nations should recognize Palestine as a nation, per a new Reuters Ipsos poll.
Plus, this poll you're seeing here showing that an increasing number of Americans believe that, yes, this is a genocide, what we're seeing before our very eyes. Now, it was floundering around 35%. Now it's pushing upwards towards 50% because we can see it, because we see real reporting, because we don't appreciate the nuance of, yes, that kid was starving, but they already had cerebral palsy. It's still bad starve a kid with cerebral palsy. We still don't like that.
So I'm sorry. So this kid has a pre-existing condition. That's why, but it's okay to starve him? Like, he's starving because of cerebral palsy? Like, your logic makes no sense. And so then every child that we've been seeing that's been starving, or the children that you're shooting with sniper rifles, was that child who was like last week, that unbelievable video that went viral of a young boy carrying like a jug of water. Don't worry, though. He's probably got a pre-existing condition. So when the Israeli soldiers fired at him to try to kill him, I'm sure it just was like cerebral palsy or something. So it's totally fine. So he wants to do this because more and more Americans are using the word genocide, and you need to control the algorithms to hide the truth, just like shutting down TikTok, of course. It wasn't Chinese, had nothing to do with China, had everything to do with Israel, as Congressman Thomas Massie pointed out on our show. He definitely doesn't want you to see things like this on YouTube. My God, this is not something you want to see on YouTube, right? I mean, this is from the Associated Press, for crying out loud. Look at this. Malnourished children arrive at Gaza hospital as Netanyahu denies hunger. Starvation attacks the bodies of these children in Gaza. From the Associated Press. Oh, there, the bottom, from CBS. The children of Gaza. He better get on that and censor that shit fast. Don't want to have that being shared on social media or on our show, which goes out to millions of people. I guess all these starving kids are having pre-existing conditions. It's okay to starve them, according to Milikowski. Now, he doesn't want you to see that on X today, Gaza is one of the top trending topics. That's really upsetting to Milikowski as well. Just type in Gaza and you'll see Israel's destruction and genocide, like this raw footage of TRT capturing Israel's mass destruction of Gaza. The flyover. Look at that. I mean, it looks like a nuclear bomb went off. You might see that. Unfortunately, if you're on social media, so we got to manipulate the algorithms, you might stumble across a child in Gaza having to drink water out of a street water pipe, like this little boy. Like, this is how you can get some fresh. I don't even know if the water's fresh at all, but presumably not, since it's open. But at least he's happy. Like, this is a little boy. He just wanted some water and he's smiling. Maybe you'd see that on social media. That's not good. That's not good for Netanyahu. Or you might see this, like all the aid lines, and Gaza is more than a humanitarian crisis. It's a moral crisis. You might see that. That might bother you, your propaganda machine. Or this, the over 200 members of the press that have been killed. Think about how many people killed in World War I and World War II. like three. But Israel's managed to kill a lot of members of the press, over 200. Or this. I'm just going to put this here. You might see that. You might see that on X, too, Milikowski.
She Hamas?
Oh, probably.
That's how we feel
clearly.
About this.
She's probably got cerebral palsy, so it's okay. She's probably got some sort of a pre-existing condition, so it's okay.
Or what about the reports from British doctors working in Gaza saying that they are noticing clusters of wounds on different days, as if the IDF has today's knee day, today's abdomen day, that they continue to see on Mondays all the children coming in with gunshot wounds cluster around one part of the body. Reports of target practice on different days. What about that? Is that these are actually reported?
Yeah.
So, yes. What do we do about that? What do we do about knowing that?
Well, and I have friends in Tel Aviv who are furious about this. So, like, this isn't about Israel. This is about a demonic government of Israel led by Netanyahu. Censorship? You're going to tell us what we can put on social media to get the truth out about a genocide? F you.
This comment. How many journalists had cerebral palsy?
All of those journalists.
Pre-existing condition.
I'm sure they're all, they all have cerebral palsy or some sort of pre-existing condition. That's why so many social media influencers, by the way, open your eyes. If you see these like social media influencers who are just totally in the tank or YouTubers that have been invited to Israel recently in the past few weeks, the reason they're doing this is because Israel is losing the PR campaign, clearly. The lies are being exposed. How can we all get these YouTubers and podcasters to pretend like genocide isn't happening? Because that term is now being shared on social media, so we have to clearly censor it. These influencers get free flights. They get great hotels. They get food and drink. They get to meet Netanyahu himself. They get to, so he can sit there and propagandize with them. They won't be shown any of this, of course. They'll be kept away far from this. They'll get to hang out with Mike Huckabee, U.S. ambassador. They'll get to sit down and have dinner. They're treated like royalty. It's exactly why so many members of Congress were just in Israel getting the royal treatment when they should have been home in their own districts in the United States meeting with their own constituents. Where were they? They were in Israel. It's a great strategy. What happens is then they fly back to the United States, and then they go on their podcasts and their YouTube shows, and they talk about how great Israel is. But it's failing. Megyn Kelly, for instance, just got the same invitation, but she's not taking it.
But I have absolutely no skin whatsoever in defending any lobbyist group, including AIPAC.
Right.
So I would love to know what they do to get the loyalty of politicians, because I will say I have had multiple reach outs to me, both from friends and from connected people in D.C., begging me to go to Israel with them. And I have said no every time. And my own feelings are, I'm looking at Israel in a different way right now than I was on 10-8, that's for sure, of 23.
Right.
And I can feel the pressure being slightly ratcheted up, like you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see people like you, like Tucker, mm-hmm. who I know Tucker. I've known him for years. And I've seen you in your early career. I know you have nothing against Israel.
Oh, gosh, no.
Never mind Jews. Yeah. That's all a lie. But
right.
And I see the beatdowns coming.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not allowed. Like, you have to stay right on this lily pad.
Yes.
And you cannot jump to another neighboring lily pad because it could take you all the way down the river away.
Well, you're a person of very big influence. You've got a big voice. You've got a large audience. They also take a lot of influencers. They invite tons of influencers.
Many of whom have invited me. Like, we're all going together. And will you come? Like, they seem to be coming at me from a number of ways, which only really kind of raises my hackles. Like, I'm not going. I'm right. going to stay right here.
I'm not going. Even the mainstream media is not buying the lies anymore. This is why Netanyahu wants to start censoring social media ahead of this big invasion. I'm sure members of Congress are going to start doing his bidding by introducing censorship laws in Congress. Clearly, that's going to happen. ABC's Patricia Karvelas absolutely destroyed Netanyahu's right-hand man, Ofir Fallick, after he refused to admit that there was starvation happening in Gaza, even though President Trump, literally on Air Force One, said you'd have to be nuts to say that these children aren't starving. You'd have to be an idiot, frankly, is almost like what Trump said. But he said, no, he said nuts.
I do have to laugh a little that you called him Fallick. It says Falk.
Falk.
Phallic, is that a Freudian?
I don't know. Ophir, Phallic, Falk. Anyway, this is
his
name.
You know what that word is, right?
I know what phallic means.
Okay.
I know what phallic means.
So I'm just being a fourth grader. And
exactly.
Sorry.
Anyway, so ABC's Patricia Karvelas absolutely destroyed Netanyahu's right-hand man, Ophir Phallic Falk. He refuses to admit starvation in Gaza, that Israel is not, and he's also refusing to admit that journalists aren't being let in. Like, really? Are you that fucking stupid? Watch.
And that is the truth that you should be telling, well, and not the lies of the starvation policy. It's outrageous.
The American president says it looks like starvation. The American president, your greatest supporter, has said he thinks starvation is happening in Gaza. So with respect, I don't think that the claims you're making are accepted by the world.
The president of the United States fully backs Israel, and we appreciate that.
He also thinks there's starvation going on.
There is starvation of the hostages. We've seen that.
He said there's starvation of Palestinian children.
As I've said, the lies have been debunked. Israel does not have a policy of starvation like the Prime Minister of Australia would like you to believe. To the contrary, Israel has a policy of preventing starvation. We've let in over 2 million or approximately 2 million tons of aid into Gaza. Is that a starvation policy? Come on. Get serious.
We see the images, the world's watching, and it looks like a starvation crisis to me. And all of the independent experts say it's one as well. Why don't you let journalists into Gaza so we can see for ourselves?
Actually, journalists are let into Gaza. There's plenty of journalists coming into Gaza.
There is not plenty of journalists. The world is not able to see what's going on in Gaza. You're constantly contesting. You constantly contest facts. Why not let journalists come in to be able to witness this themselves?
You're more than welcome.
You're inviting me to go in?
You're more than welcome.
But this is the thing. It's always under your parameters. I'm talking about the freedom of journalists to go and report with their eyes and to tell the world what they're seeing.
He's like, nope, not going to happen. You can come on one of our PR tours.
We will put you on a leash and walk you around.
Yeah,
We'll
show you some areas where Hamas on October 7th went across the fence, and we didn't stand down or anything. We didn't even know they were coming. We have one of the most sophisticated intelligence operations in the world, and we didn't even see the guy coming over with a donkey and a paraglider. Like, we were just out to lunch that afternoon. We'll show you where they came in and attacked our military outposts along the line on October 7th. You want to go see that, and then you can feel really bad?
Now, something I brought up in the newsletter this morning is that Israel is calling up 60,000 reservists, but they still have a troop shortage. They're saying it's because the Orthodox don't serve, because that's against their religion. So what they're saying now, multiple Israeli outlets are saying they are going to target Jewish youth in the U.S. and France to serve in the IDF. So think about this. You're of Jewish descent or Jewish faith. You've never been to Israel, but they will sign you up for their military. This is a foreign military saying, yes, you might be American or French, but your allegiance is ultimately to Israel. Imagine that. This is something that drives Dan Cohen absolutely batshit crazy. Imagine Italy telling Italian Americans, you need to serve in our army because of your Italian blood, because of your ancestry. Well, they're claiming global military conscription rights. Now, you might say, oh, I don't really care. I'm not Jewish, or I'm not going to volunteer for that. But for how long? Consider how far backwards our politicians have bent to allow this war to continue, to facilitate this slaughter. So how long will American politicians allow this to be optional? That's a terrifying question, but it's one worth asking considering how far up Netanyahu's backside our politicians are.
Yeah, it's a great question. Zaida in our Rumble chat says, you guys are making fools of yourselves. And yourselves is spelled with a URSELFS. I think Zaida is exactly right that the Israelis are making fools of themselves. And I think it's quite obvious that this is happening. I'm just encouraged that finally people are waking up, because the propaganda machine, it's the same thing that we called out with Ukraine, right? When these journalists would go into Ukraine and they would be led around by the Ukrainian, like the SBU, or the CIA operatives who were basically taking CNN journalists, showing them fake bombing sites and pushing out like all sorts of propaganda stuff that we had to call out here right on this show. One of my favorites, of course, is when CNN was pushing that story, and I think it was in Bucha, where they literally drove by and then you saw the actors who were laying there playing dead. One of them actually got up and walked away. Like that was high. That's the kind of propaganda we're being subjected to right now. Most people are sitting there watching Fox News or CNN and they're all lying by omission, and you're getting your information in that way. And that's really, really sad. So I'm glad to see people are waking up. So finally, good to see all of that. And so many of you who watch our show.
I feel alone in my outrage about global conscription. You don't feel outraged by that?
About global conscription?
Yes. How crazy is that? It's super crazy to tell someone who's never been to Israel that your allegiance is to us.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
I just
ridiculous.
Felt like I wanted more from you.
All right. Hey, coming up here on the show, we're going to talk about why are Democrats, they're calling redistricting in Texas racist. It's racist in Texas when Republicans do it, but when Gavin Newsom does redistricting in California, President Obama last night said it's smart, it's measured, makes a lot of sense. But it's racist when Republicans do it in Texas. And why are so many people fleeing the Democratic Party? The numbers are in. We're going to talk about that. And also Trump getting rid of mail-in ballots says, no, we'll still have it for military members and people living overseas. But in the United States, it's led to so much fraud, we're going to get rid of it. So will he actually be able to do that? We're going to talk about that in moments. But first, you guys have heard of Bearskin, the Bearskin hoodie, right? And the company Bearskin. Here is their hoodie. I can't believe it's 100 degrees outside here of our studio today here in the Rocky Mountains. But I'm ready for fall. There was last night there was a little bit of fall, fall breeze, and I was like, oh, feeling it. And
today so I'm it's ready, 92.
I'm ready for hoodie weather. Here is the Bearskin hoodie. Smart people are looking great right now in their winter gear because this is hands down the best time to prep for the coming winter. Bearskin right now is running 60% off deal right now, but only if you get your hoodie early. So you can get it right now for 60% off. This hoodie is built like a tank. 340 GSM micro fleece, 10 pockets. It's clean, rugged fit that looks awesome. Plus, it zips right into the heavy storm rain jacket, and it becomes 100% waterproof when you need it. So when it turns cold, windy, and wet, you're not scrambling last minute. You'll get free U.S. shipping, fast delivery. And if you've locked in your winter gear already, that's a win-win. So do yourself a favor. Text the word redacted to 36912 to lock in your 60% off right now. Again, text the word redacted to 36912, and you'll get a link sent straight to your phone. You can check it out later if you're busy right now, if you're watching the show. Just save the link, and you can go there later on to get that 60% off. So text redacted to 36912 is the place to go. Our thanks to Bearskin for supporting what we do here on this show. And these absolutely fantastic. I wore it to Scotland a few weeks ago and had the rain jacket, and it was a hailstorm came out of nowhere. And we were wearing it didn't come out of nowhere because we planned for it. So I actually brought the rain jacket with me, and hail pouring down like crazy, and I was kept totally dry. So thank you, Bearskin. You guys are awesome. Love this hoodie, and I love the jacket as well.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
All right, well, Democrats lost about 2.1 million registered voters between 2020 and 2024. What happened between those years? The Biden years being in control cost them all of these Democrats in 30 states, according to the New York Times. They lost ground to Republicans in every state that tracks party affiliation. Now, the Times did this report. They say that it is a bipartisan think tank that tracked this. They call it a deep political hole that could take years for Democrats to climb out from. Is that why they're redistricting in California? Is this part of their power grab? Is this part of them digging back out? Is this why Gavin Newsom is suddenly their megastar with his X feed that has so much enthusiasm for new posts like this, which mirrors President Trump's online style? He's posting in the same sort of erratic, brutish cadence. And Democrats who are so desperate for a fighter seem to love it. Watch the Breakfast Club getting super excited about this.
Why wouldn't
Massachusetts?
Oh, no, not this.
But I have absolutely no.
Not that one. Maybe we don't.
Give me
have
one
it?
Second. No, I have it. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I've got it. It was just we switched things around, so I was out of order.
Let me tell you something. Gavin Newsom, for the past week and some change, has been doing what I've wanted a Democrat to do for a long time. Okay, see, Michelle Obama once said, when they go low, we go high. And your Uncle Charlotte has never agreed with that. Okay, when they go low, either you ignore them and mind your business, stay doing the work, or when they go low, you go to hell. Okay, and Gavin Newsom over the last week and a half has been going to hell with the Trump administration. Not even really going to hell, just matching energy, and I like it.
All right. So is this the rising phoenix of the Democrats? Do they need both the sort of interesting election tactics plus this? Will this last through the midterms? Let's bring in someone who knows more about the disaster that is California than just about anyone. Chris Moritz is the author of Failed State, A Portrait of California in the Twilight of Empire. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's nice to be back.
All right. So what do you make of this bleed out from the Democrats? First of all, the admission from the New York Times, and then we'll talk about these tactics.
Yeah, I think that there is no doubt that Gavin Newsom, whether we like it or not, is positioned to be that Democratic phoenix. And that's not a statement that's positive or negative really about him. It's just a fact. He is charismatic. He is intelligent. He does play a very smart game, and he's been doing so for a very long time. So I think he will be a formidable challenger, and that is a terrifying idea because the track record in California is one of complete failure at every single level, even recently. So we all know Prop 47, the infamous legalizing shoplifting ballot from 2014, where thefts under $950 became a misdemeanor. And this resulted in a 114% increase in these kinds of crimes over the next 10 years. This passed with 60% of California voters and, by the way, was put in place by Gavin Newsom's political consulting firm. It's been with him his entire career, a firm called Bear Star Strategies. So Gavin, as lieutenant governor, strongly supported Prop 47, but it was a disaster. We all see it's a disaster. When you walk into a CVS in Santa Monica or anywhere really in Los Angeles, toothpaste is behind plastic barriers. Is this a sign of a healthy society? I would say definitely not. But yet, when there was an opportunity to reform Prop 47 in the form of a ballot initiative called Prop 36, which passed by 70% of Californians in 2024, and wasn't even that tough, by the way. What it did was, on your third theft of $950 or less, it would become a felony. So pretty light relative to what it could have been. And guess who opposed this vehemently? Gavin Newsom. Not only did he oppose it, he prevented funding for it at the state level. So now counties are having to incur the cost of implementing this very sane, very, very urgent law. So this is a guy who has no moral compass, who is the American psycho. I mean, that is who he is.
And that's, I mean, damning. Socialist, American psycho.
With a cool Twitter profile.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a socialist. I don't think he is anything. He is a plutocrat. He is owned by the elite that control this state. That is the Getty family. That is tech. And by the way, all the tech bros that supported Trump last time around, just mark this moment. They will all flock back to this guy. Because guess what? They are him. They are the psychos. They are products.
Yeah. Will, so are people going to fall for this? Right? It's one thing for tech bros. It's one thing for, you know, all of those guys to pour in their millions of dollars into his campaign and go to those dinners and luncheons and all of that and all of the fundraisers. But, you know, when it comes down to it, is someone in, you know, are people in Michigan, are independents in Michigan and the Rust Belt, Pennsylvania and Scranton, are they going to fall for it?
They will, unless they understand what a disaster California is. We have 180,000 homeless in this state. That increased 24% over the term of which Gavin Newsom has been governor, despite $24 billion being allocated to that, which, by the way, doesn't go to any like actual homeless renovation or restructuring. It goes to consultants. Consultants that have backed Gavin, they are his constituents. It's a giant grift fraud machine, this state. That's why $128 billion got us a rail track to nowhere.
Right.
You know,
that rail track, by the way, that started while I was in high school in Pennsylvania. I remember learning about it. Like, I think it was started in like 1994.
Yeah.
Still to this day. China built one in 3 years.
1,000 kilometers of rail in about 10 to 15 years. And they did it at 90 cents on the dollar compared to what this fiasco is, which is, I hope one day will be seriously investigated because it is, I'm sure, mafia related and cartel related and all the other problems that have defined this state, certainly over the course of Gavin Newsom's tenure, but long before. Although I will say, Gavin Newsom from Jerry Brown inherited, I think, a $47 billion budget surplus, which he turned into a $72 billion deficit.
Now, okay, I want to ask a question I can't prove, but this is my instinct here. I see the ratios on Gavin Newsom's tweets as incredibly high. Anyone who's critical of it gets pounced. Anyone who praises it gets a like. It's just the numbers are crazy. Now, yesterday we did a segment here on Redacted about it, and we got virtually no views. And it could be we just didn't do a good job. We just, you know, people who watch our show don't care, or we didn't understand it. I'll take responsibility for that. But we did see during the Biden era that the federal government was in cahoots with social media to promote democratic principles. Is it possible that this is not organic, that there are some algorithmic manipulation and maneuvering happening before our very eyes?
And can I just follow up on that, Chris? Over the past 48 hours, there's been so many articles from NBC News to Politico, all like praising this social media strategy by Gavin Newsom now. Like, they're all like in lockstep pushing him out now as the guy. And then we do a story about it yesterday and it gets totally suppressed. Coincidence?
Yeah, sure, of course. Well, California as a system, as a political economy, borrows a lot from China. I can tell you that because I lived in China and worked for a Chinese state-owned enterprise bank for 2 years. Okay, so I know how the system works. I know the contours of it. It's the same. A edict goes out from the top, which in this case seems to be the locus of Gavin's, Gavin's power, because he's the presumptive nominee. It's not going to be that pig Pritzker, and so the entire party starts to act on that. That is why Democrats always coalesce and act in unison, and why Republicans, or conservatives, I should say, are actually about sort of diversity of opinion and approach and so on and so forth, but except on Israel, right? I agree with your last statement quite strongly.
Oh, thank you. So tell us about this redistricting move. Barack Obama says, normally I wouldn't like this, but since Texas did it, I think Gavin Newsom should have done it. What is this maneuver in order to increase?
I'm not an expert on gerrymandering or redistricting. Gerrymandering has been a problem in California since late 90s. This was discussed under Gray Davis and Schwarzenegger. As a general principle, I think it's gross. I actually don't agree that Texas should have done this. I think that it does prompt a proliferation of this kind of activity. It will result in reciprocal action. And so that's what we're seeing. But I will say something that I found very interesting in my research for the book, which is that if you look at the movement of prior voters for Biden to Trump on this last cycle, the highest kind of delta actually occurred in areas around East Los Angeles, significantly, if not 99% immigrants. And in fact, Mother Jones, the progressive, magazine, did some really good reporting on this and found that in those barrios, even illegal immigrants were supportive of Trump because they didn't want to see more illegals come in and displace them. You know, and I'm sure there's values argument too. Guess where it swung further to Kamala, place where I live, the Palisades, formerly, Brentwood, the white areas, the rich areas, because, you know, that's the system in this state.
PJ Pickett in our chat said, didn't Democrats do a redistricting in 2000 and 2001? Just going to get this chat here.
Yeah, I think that's around the time, you know, Gray Davis. So that correlates with, I mean, I was a kid then, but that does sound about right.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess, you know, is there anything other than this California strategy that Democrats can cling to if this fades out? What do you think, you know, can be? And actually, I wanted to bring this up. The New York Times, they brazenly admitted that the way that Democrats register new voters is through DMV scams during the Obama years. They went to welfare services, drug rehab services, even food stamp offices. They say, you know, they sort of relied on registering young Black and Latina voters, and they would just by default be Democrats, and that just doesn't work anymore. I mean, that feels like cheating to me, but, you know, do they have anything else? Will they, what now that those people are now thinking independently?
You know, look, they may have voted for Trump. I don't know if that will last. It may be a Trump thing. We should be prepared that it is. And as far as like shenanigans with voting, well, how do you think California became a one-party state? It happened over the course of about, let's say, 25 years, during which time the foreign-born population of California became, I think, 27%, which is the highest in the United States. It's actually maybe the highest in North America, even exceeding places like Toronto. And as that change has been effectuated and, let's say, germinated, the state has become a one-party Democratic machine. And moreover, as businesses are driven out of the state, and they have been driven out under Gavin Newsom's tenure in even greater numbers than kind of, you know, prior to that. But as like aerospace and defense left Southern California, and as other engineering type folks left the state, and there were 800,000 exiters, refugees from California, the state becomes increasingly one of bifurcation between the elite, those people that we were talking about that back Newsom and always have, and then a poor underclass of serfs. So it is this Latin America style political economy with a middle class that cannot really survive here anymore.
Thank you so much for this context, maybe however depressing it is, because it does feel like this may be what we're stuck with next if people don't pay attention. So Chris Moritz, the book is Failed State, A Portrait of California in the Twilight of Empire. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about hidden tunnels under D.C., the Smithsonian, all of that fun stuff. So hold on to your butts. But before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends over at Buy Optimizers, because it's surprising how little we discuss the potential effects of 5G, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. The signals are everywhere, and they're not just harmless background noise. These are electromagnetic fields. Research shows they can mess with how our cells work. Did you know that research suggests that EMFs may open calcium channels in our cells? This is actually something that's in the Pyramids of Power, Derek Brough's documentary that we talked about recently. Well, that's where magnesium comes in, because it helps to close those doors. It keeps calcium in check and helps your nervous system stay calm. But here's the problem. Most of us don't get enough magnesium. When your body is constantly bombarded by EMFs, your magnesium rate skyrockets, meaning you use it up faster. And most supplements only use one or two basic forms of magnesium that your body cannot absorb. But that's why in our family, we use Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. It's the only one with all seven essential forms of magnesium designed for real absorption, so your body can handle stress when it gets it, sleep better, stay balanced in a world full of stimulation. Go to buyoptimizers.com/redacted and use the code redacted at checkout, and you'll save 15%. They even offer a full 365-day guarantee, so there's zero risk to trying it. And if you subscribe, you'll get amazing discounts and free gifts. So make sure that your monthly supply is guaranteed. And head on over one more time to buyoptimizers.com/redacted. One more time, that's buyoptimizers.com/redacted.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Well, what's really hidden underneath Washington, D.C.? For years, there have been whispers of vast tunnel systems underneath the Capitol, not just for the government use, of course, but for something darker. Now, new reports suggest President Trump's recent moves from federalizing D.C.'s Metro Police to pressuring the Smithsonian to release long-hidden artifacts may be part of a much bigger operation. And so what is the police move actually covering here for federal forces raiding an underground network tied to the deep state? Satanic cults in D.C.? Even extraterrestrial allies? Yes. So all of the deep state forces that Trump is up against. We wanted to talk about this today with Dr. Michael Sala, author, researcher, one of the leading voices on exopolitics, to help make us make sense of all of this. Doctor, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me, Clegg.
My pleasure. Now, I think, you know, what's interesting is that last week when we started covering this story, there's been new revelations that have come out since then. In many ways, I think vindicating some of what you were saying, and so many viewers. I mean, we had thousands of people saying thank you for covering this story because it doesn't get any attention. So can you talk about what some of these new revelations are that we might have been learning about with the Smithsonian and like the Scottish Rite Temple, et cetera?
Sure. Well, this Smithsonian, that received an executive order, or was the subject of an executive order from President Trump, where there would be an effort to pressure the Smithsonian to release much more of its holdings to be reviewed for release. And that comes on top of what has been really decades of complaints that the Smithsonian, rather than revealing America's history, its ancient history, and the true level of civilization here, has been suppressing and hiding it. And so there have been stories dating all the way back to the 1800s that the Smithsonian, once it is called out to investigate an archaeological finding of any significance, whether we're talking about the discovery of giant skeletons, whether we're talking about the discovery of Egyptian artifacts in the Grand Canyon, and anything to do with say, the mounds in Ohio that contain supposedly technologies that go back to the Atlantean era, that the Smithsonian, rather than getting its hands on these artifacts and reviewing them for public release, really just locks them away in vaults. And the place where it's been doing that is in this kind of vast underground tunnel system in the Washington, D.C. area. And the tunnel system dates all the way back to the early 1800s when Washington, D.C. was being designed as the nation's capital. So they needed a tunnel system so that members of Congress and the executive branch could get around quickly if they needed to. Of course, you had the British invasion in 1812, so that only accelerated things. And you also had a vast aqueduct system that also was responsible for a lot of the underground tunneling in Washington, D.C. On top of that, you also had a underground trolley system that began as early as 1862, and it was until 1962 that the trolley system was finally put to an end. And over the course of that century, they eventually started to build underground tunnels for the trolleys. Now, that was abandoned in 1962. And in late 60s and early 70s, they started to build Washington's metro system. But the tunnels that were used for the trolleys, the underground tunnels, are still there. They're unused. And so, you know, you just have this vast network of tunnels, whether they're built by private entities, whether they're built by federal entities or government agencies, that are throughout the Washington, D.C. area.
And deeply, deeply dark stuff that's happening here, as one of our viewers here on the screen says, you know, deeply being used for like child trafficking, really demonic things down here in these tunnels. And we've heard from different whistleblowers on this. Somebody in the chat was just saying Freemasonry connected to the inverted pentagram on this as well. Maybe we can put that inverted pentagram up here on the screen and take a look at it. Maybe you can recap for our audience that maybe missed this last week. What are we seeing here and why is this deeply troubling?
Well, the pentagram was something that was part of the architectural design for Washington, D.C. Pierre L'Enfant was a Freemason. And what you see there is an incomplete pentagram. And what critics say, well, because it's not a complete pentagram, then it could not have been designed for occult purposes. But actually, a broken pentagram has even more significance, because a complete pentagram is a symbol of protection, the broken pentagram that you see there, that's a symbol that welcomes the satanic forces. And what's very interesting is I think I sent you an image that shows the compass at the bottom of the pentagram, and that compass that extends to the U.S. Congress. And that shows that the compass being the symbol of Freemasonry, that was connected to this pentagram. There you go. And what's very interesting here, of course, is that many of the founding fathers were Freemasons, and I think the vast majority of them really did have noble intentions and wanted to make Washington, D.C. a kind of beacon of light and a replacement for Atlantis, like the new Atlantis. But there were very deep, dark, hidden forces that came in and infiltrated. And so you see that in the different lodges in the Washington, D.C. area. And there's the temple, House of the Temple, on 16th Street, just near DuPont Circle. And I think I sent you an image of that as well. And yeah, that is the headquarters of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, 33 degree, in the United States, or a very important element of that. And underneath that is supposedly, according to a book titled Weird America and other sources that cite it, remnants of an ancient Atlantean tunnel system. Now, I mean, that sounds pretty far-fetched that you could actually have something as ancient as that. But in fact, I mean, I've been doing work on the underground tunnel system in America, and what typically has been happening, especially when it comes to the development of deep underground military bases, is that they have found a much older tunneling system that dates back to the Atlantean era, and they either kind of repurpose that or they build alongside that. And so I think it's very feasible that underneath Washington, D.C., in addition to this kind of like human-made layer of tunnels, whether they're made for the federal government, for Congress, or for the aqueduct system, or for the trolley car system, that you could have something much, much older, an Atlantean tunnel system. And that's where things get really very interesting, because I think that's where you get probably the deepest, darkest rituals being conducted by those that make it their life or their job to explore and research these tunnels for satanic practices. Because what the Satanists do, and there is an element of Freemasonry, you know, it's very important to say that not all Freemasonry is satanic. It's only those that are above the 33 degree level that are introduced into this kind of like satanic element, where they're told that humans are descendants of gods, and they rely on blood sacrifice, and that they can invoke demons or these draconian reptilians. And so these temples or these lodges are often built on areas that have some kind of energy vortex. And so that's why they actually do a lot of these practices, like satanic rituals, at these energy vortexes, because they know that that's how you can control an area or even an entire planet. And that brings us back to the whole inverted pentagram, because within there, at the different nodes, you're going to have rituals being conducted in underground locations that really ensure that this kind of dark satanic element predominates in Washington.
Well, I sat down last night and had a multi-hour discussion with Timothy Alberino, who's a researcher, and we talked about the giants, and he was telling me, and I didn't realize this, that in the Smithsonian's own documents, they say that they have giant skeletal remains of giants, giant bone fragments, jaw bones that are bigger than, you know, bigger than my entire head in the Smithsonian. So I'm hoping as part of this audit, members of Congress will sort of piggyback maybe on this, start to put forth some pressure to release all of it. Like, what sort of demonic stuff are they keeping there? What sort of stuff do they have under Washington, D.C.? I think that Trump is onto something with this, and I think you're in many ways vindicated for your position on this. Thank you for being brave and talking out about this. Most of our audience is saying, thank you for talking about this. There's a few people that are like, this is what? I can't even believe this. This sounds crazy. This sounds like total BS. But, you know, some people take a little bit longer to be awakened by this. But thank you for your work on this, Dr. Sala. I appreciate it. People should read your website. It's exopolitics.org, right, where you've been cataloging a lot of this. And you do also a podcast and reports on this as well. So we'll be watching this audit at the Smithsonian. And we will have you back as the story unfolds, because we are going to continue to follow it. Thank you, Dr. Sala. Great to see you, Michael.
Thank you. Aloha. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Doc. Great to see you. I could talk about this all day, but we've got a busy show today. I know.
Right. Coming up, we're going to talk about how President Trump wants to nuke the mail-in ballots, how attorneys general around the country who are honest are willing to say this is a problem. We're also going to talk about President Trump's lawsuit by AG Letitia Smith, New York AG Letitia Smith being dropped. So exciting stuff there. But first,
hey, I don't know if you know that Jerome Powell signaled, yep, a rate cut is coming in September, interest rates to be slashed in September. What does that mean when the Fed gets involved once again with our monetary system? You know, the Fed, of course, the largest criminal cabal in America, right? Started in 1913 and basically the reason that we're in every war that we are in, an unelected group of globalists who run our entire money supply. It means that the U.S. dollar gets further devalued. Once again, gets further devalued. If you want to understand the power of putting your money towards something that has actual, physical precious metals, or something that has an actual tactical. Sorry, when I'm saying tactical, what's the word I'm trying to
tangible.
Say? Tangible.
Tangible.
Thank you. Tangible. I'm saying tactical. Got military in my head today. Putting your money behind something that has tangible asset like gold and silver. Would we ever move back to a gold standard? I know there's plenty of people who want to end the Fed and push President Trump to move us back to a gold standard. Will we do it? I don't know, but BRICS is doing it. All the BRICS nations are lining up and using gold and tangible gold and precious metals as something to back their currency with. But I'm a firm believer that you should do it, regardless of what the government is doing. Our friends at Lear Capital can help you start investing in gold and silver. You know, you can have it shipped right to your house, stored in your gun safe if you want to, gold coins, silver coins, totally up to you, or stored in an offsite facility, which is what we do, under 24-hour guard, and they take care of it. They send you the notes, the photos, they audit it regularly, so you know that your gold is safe and taken care of, your precious metals are protected. Lear is an American company, and they will just walk you through the process. There are projections now from J.P. Morgan and others that gold will hit over $4,500 an ounce. Another projections have it at $6,000 an ounce. That's why President Trump said no tariffs on silver. Like, the demand for this stuff is incredibly important, and it should be used as a currency. Up to 5 states have now said you can use it as a currency. So if you want to start investing today, go call 1-800-613-3557. Talk to our friends at Lear Capital, great American company, or just go to the website learredacted.com. And learn how you can receive up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. So learn all of it. Ask about that on the phone. They have a team that is dedicated to our show. So call them. Say, hey, I heard about you on Redacted. 1-800-613-3557 or go to learredacted.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
All right. Well, President Trump said that he is going to end mail-in ballots. And while he's at it, he will also end what he quotes, highly inaccurate, very expensive, and seriously controversial voting machines. Now, the White House did clarify this will not apply to overseas and out-of-state military ballots. He predicts that Democrats will oppose this, which surely they will, but he insists that states must follow what rules the federal government mandates. Of course, the court will probably have to decide on that. It seems like the Constitution is clear that each state has the authority to determine the time, place, and manner of elections, subject only to congressional legislation. So Will we see this change? Is that a possibility? But the president is correct. Voter fraud has always been a concern. It's not something new because he opened his mouth and said it, and specifically mail-in ballots. Now, you might recall 2 years ago, the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, told Tucker Carlson that mail-in ballots were the main problem. And that when he tried to sue other states to enforce their own laws, he then faced impeachment. Watch.
Why wouldn't preventing voter fraud, mail-in ballots, which you bet voter fraud, be your number one priority?
I think for anybody that cares about democracy, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, that that should be the number one thing. And for the media to constantly shut down the conversation about this, and for social media companies, technology companies to shut down the conversation tells me that there's a reason they don't want us talking about it. It's insane how you get treated for even bringing it up, when in reality, I don't think there's a more important issue, even than immigration, anything, because all those other issues will be affected by whether we have real elections that we can trust.
And you think it comes down to, or the most important issue is mail-in ballots?
For what I know, like, I don't know the machine stuff. I've tried to get people to bring stuff to prove it, and I've never seen proof. So I would.
I haven't either.
If they
open-minded, but
I'm
I open-minded, seen it.
But yep. I have never had anybody bring me proof. But I do know 100% that they cheat with mail-in ballots. I know that for a fact, and we have prosecuted people for that.
Okay.
We had a lot.
So he then goes on to explain this. Joining us to discuss is Alan Wilson, the Attorney General of South Carolina. Thank you so much for joining us. And I do believe this is a really important issue. So how do you feel about President Trump trying to set some sort of federal rules for election when the Constitution does seem to say that it's up to the states?
Well, the Constitution says it's up to the states, subject to approval of Congress. Congress obviously can put stipulations or strings on federal money. They do so with, drinking ages in states and highway dollars. But they also say that the time, manner, and location of elections to be determined by state legislatures. But also, Congress can overrule that. I think the president is 1,000% right to be concerned about election integrity, especially as it relates to election ballots. I agree with my friend Ken Paxton when he talks about the concern there. Obviously, I've been very concerned about election integrity since I began being Attorney General 14 and a half years ago. I defended the states, the only Attorney General to first successfully defend the state voter ID laws back in 2012 at that time. We first successfully defended our voter ID laws in South Carolina. And I've since then, I've been a stalwart in defending election integrity. I very much support what the president is saying. The president is right that Congress can have oversight, but at the state level, the state should be aggressive in promoting election integrity.
Now, we saw during the last election that states were simply refusing to enforce their own laws. They refused to clean up ballots, old registrars, people who were dead, even when the federal government, each state, in fact, the federal government tried to stop Florida from doing that. So it feels to the rest of us, it's willy-nilly when the federal government says something and each state is just, it's a wild west out here. So how do we have any confidence?
Well, first off, we have an opportunity right here. You're right to question the confidence of the federal government. But right now, we have President Donald Trump in the White House. We have a narrow majority in the House and a somewhat narrow majority in the Senate. If we're smart, we have an opportunity to pass laws that promote election integrity to states, especially states that do not want to have election integrity, who want to promote laws that allow for people to exploit our elections, by these mail-in ballots. Right now we have President Trump in the White House and a Republican-led Congress who can get out of the way of states like Florida and South Carolina and Texas, among others, from enforcing those laws. But while we have control of the government, we need to pass laws that protect elections when there is a Democratic administration in the future. And I think that's something that we can work with the administration on doing.
Now, the New York Times this week did a feature about how Democrats are just bleeding voters. And there was this shocking admission that Democrats get most of their voters through nonprofits that register people to vote, and they rely on underprivileged people just automatically being Democrats. That feels a little bit like cheating to me. And in fact, the Obama administration went further, required voter registration at the DMV, drug rehab centers, even food stamp offices. And this is what the Obama administration prosecuted when they weren't seeping these places with voter registration. They did not, though, prosecute when it came to mail-in voter fraud or other voter fraud. So it's clear to me who they're going after. And if states don't do that, then the federal government litigates. So do you think that voter registration policy is neutral? Is there anything that can be done about that?
Look, while we have the Congress and while we have the White House, we need to do everything that we can to pass federal laws that promote election integrity, whether it's ballot harvesting or mail-in ballots or anything, even voting machines. And at the state level, where states are the primary writers of election law under the Constitution, states should, especially Republican states, should do everything they can to pass and promote pro-electoral integrity laws. Now, there are going to be blue states out there that are going to fight it. That's why you need our federal partners in Congress. We're not always going to have Congress. We're not always going to have the White House. So we need to do everything that we can to enshrine election integrity into federal law and also have laws that promote election integrity in states that don't seem to like election integrity. It's funny how when the Democrats are running the White House, they pick and choose which laws to enforce. And when they're out of the yes. White House, they seem to take a different position.
Yes, we've had J. Christian Adams on this show before. He wrote the book about injustice. It's a fabulous book. It holds up even 10 years later because it does show that the federal government under Democratic rule was choosing to only enforce election laws that benefited Democrats. And he very much says that that did not happen under Clinton. It did not happen under Bush. It's new. It's this new generation of Democrats that seem to be cheaters. I don't know how to see it any other way. I don't mean to feed that to you, but how else can we see it?
No, you're right. And listen, I'm old enough to remember when the Obama administration was using the Voting Rights Act passed, 50 years ago, almost 60 years ago, when it was passed, and they were using the Voting Rights Act to prohibit municipalities in some states from passing any election integrity laws under the guise that it was discriminatory. There was actually a law passed in a municipality in North Carolina where the local city was a majority black. They wanted to go to nonpartisan elections for city council, and so they wanted to take the party designators off. Well, the Obama administration sued the city, saying that blacks would not know who to vote for without the party designator. I mean, that is racist. Racist.
Yes.
And that's what we were dealing with 15 years ago. And now they're going to try to do it again.
Right. Who was the Obama AG who said that? There was a specific quote, the woman.
Oh, God. So soon. It was before her. It was the guy before. My goodness. I've already purged him from my memory.
Eric Holder.
Eric Holder, thank you.
I think his
it was Eric
yeah.
Holder.
And Loretta Lynch said the same thing.
Thank you.
You're right. And that case is in the J. Christian Adams book as well, that black people just don't know who to vote for.
What's interesting is African-American voters in these communities wanted to go to this type of election, and the Obama-led Justice Department was saying, no, you don't know who to vote for if we don't put a party designator. You're too stupid to know who to vote for. That's what they were saying.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so you believe that Congress should do something to just end mail-in ballots because really, I don't see how they could ever be secured.
Look, I think Republican-led states need to take a front row seat in this, but I also think Congress has a role. I think the president is right to be concerned, and I would support, any efforts that they can to promote election integrity at the federal level. If that means eliminating mail-in ballots, so be it. But we need to do something that will promote election integrity because both parties, Republican and Democrat alike, this is not a Republican issue. This is a bipartisan issue. We need to believe that the people who are elected at the ballot box are legitimately elected and the boxes aren't being padded.
Okay, agreed. I want to ask you about the Trump case brought by your New York contemporary, Letitia James. This was where the AG went after President Trump for inflating the value of his properties for loans, even though the bank said, we did our own valuation, we were never harmed, and we got paid back. You led 15 states to fight back against this targeting of President Trump, and today that case was overturned. You released this statement applauding the ruling. Tell us your thoughts on this.
Well, look, I am mostly happy with the fact that a New York appellate court not known to be a conservative bastion, okay, actually said that the Attorney General of New York got way out over her skis and violated President Trump's Eighth Amendment rights to not having excessive fines levied against him. $500 million, not because of what he did, but because of who he was. And if they can do this to him, imagine what they can do to any business owner, any person in any state. And so this is terrifying for me. And I'm just glad President Trump was in the position that he was. A lesser person couldn't have withstood this. But I led this brief because it was wrong. I disagreed with the court's five-person majority that said that the underlying elements were still. I do not think President Trump committed fraud, civil fraud. I mean, listen, the very banks who should be the alleged victims were the ones that said, yes, we want your business. We accept the value of your property. Right. Did their own independent valuation. But the Tish James and the folks up in, you know, New York said, no, not enough for the victim to say they're not a victim. We need this guy to be a defendant. And so we're going to go after him anyway. And then we're going to try to saddle him with $1 billion. That was unconstitutional. It was wrong. And we should have stopped it. And I'm glad the court at least did that much.
Right. That the court ruled, I brought this screenshot, that there were no victims. And basically, this was a fine that Letitia James didn't have the authority to impose. So she sued to get it. They called it a venial sin, which I had to look up. It's a religious word. It's like very minor. It was not even the most dishonest thing that you can do in this grand scheme of things. But why do you think the voters will not punish her for this and say, you wasted our time, we're not going to vote you back in?
Because let's give Attorney General James some credit. She campaigned that she was going to get Donald Trump. I mean, that was the main thing she ran on all those years ago during his first term. And she got elected saying she was going to get Trump. And she used the courts and lawfare to go get President Trump. So her voting base is probably going to applaud what she did. And so she said she ran on something and then she did what she said she was going to do. I vehemently disagree with it. I think it was abhorrent abuse of the justice system. It was lawfare at its worst, next to what they did on the criminal side. But she did what she said she was going to do. So I don't know that she will pay a political price. But, you know, obviously, she apparently has some issues with a home she bought in Virginia. And, you know, not claiming that or claiming that as her primary residence for purposes of not paying a higher property tax, I am told, or at least I've read. Those are allegations at this point. But hopefully the justice system will be better to her than she was to Donald Trump.
Right. I don't think there was ever a prosecution. It was only referred. Right. We didn't see it yet. OK. All right.
I'm waiting.
Me too. Me too. Okay. Attorney General Wilson, recently announced your bid for governor of South Carolina. What made you decide that right now is the time to run for governor, and how will your priorities differ from the current administration?
Well, first off, I've been Attorney General now 14 and a half years, been elected overwhelmingly four times as Attorney General for South Carolina, and I've loved being Attorney General every moment. I love the state. I love our people. As Attorney General, I have gotten to do a lot of wonderful things, promoting public safety, which is one of the reasons 75% of Republican sheriffs have come out and endorsed me. I've gone after corruption and fraud. I've gone after so many things, but as Attorney General, I can only go after things using the court system. As governor, you have a broader you have a broader approach to dealing with fraud, waste, and abuse in government. You can use the bully pulpit of government to promote a pro-conservative agenda. And so as governor, I'm going to eliminate the income tax in South Carolina. I'm going to reform education. I'm going to prioritize infrastructure, including increasing our energy grid. I'm going to promote public safety for families, and I'm going to chase the woke out of our school system. We're going to doge South Carolina from the schools all the way to state agencies and back down again, and we're going to get rid of fraud, waste, and abuse. I've been excited to be a candidate for governor. I've loved being AG, but I think I can bring that same level of enthusiasm that I did as attorney general to the office of governor. And last, I'm a 30-year veteran of the Army and a combat veteran who's led soldiers in combat. I know how to make tough decisions. I know how to lead from the front, and I know how to command the National Guard, and that's what I'm going to do as governor.
All right. Well, I'm excited to watch your campaign. Thank you for telling me about that, and thank you for coming on Redacted. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, truly.
Look forward to coming back soon. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Okay. Well, let me know what you think of that. Do we need to just nuke mail-in ballots at the congressional level? I don't see a huge problem with that, but I want to know how you feel about it. All right. right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us at Redacted. But I want to remind you that we do an extra show on Rumble for members only on Thursdays. You can join Rumble Premium by going to rumble.com/premium. Use the code Redacted and you'll save $10 and support freedom of speech, which we just love being on Rumble. It's like a cool salve to the inflammation that is censorship that happens on other platforms. They know who I am talking about. So yeah, we will spend some time there discussing some stuff. Please join us. Otherwise, if you're not going to join us there, before you go, I want to tell you about our friends over at Chapter, because millions of seniors are on the wrong Medicare plan and most people don't even know it. And in fact, the Trump DOJ recently sued three Medicare brokers for allegedly claiming to be unbiased while secretly steering seniors towards plans with the biggest kickbacks for them, not the Medicare patient. That's why we have partnered with Chapter. Chapter doesn't work for the government or big insurance. They work for you. They're the only advisors that compare every Medicare plan nationwide to find what's best for you. They even help you if you're hit with wrongful medical bills. That's real advocacy, and they've saved the average senior $1,100 per year. In fact, one of our good friends used Chapter, and it's saving thousands going forward. And the best part is that it's free for our audience. They can only review your options. They will help you in under 20 minutes. So call them at 202-655-5811 to connect with the Medicare advisor that we trust here at Redacted. You'll be so glad you did. Most people in our audience tell us that they wish they had called sooner. So you can call or go to askchapter.org/redacted. Get free unbiased help with Medicare. One more time, askchapter.org/redacted. All right. So now I'm going to say thank you for being here on YouTube. If you're not going to join us, but I hope that you do, if you want to join us over at Rumble. Those of you who are on Rumble, again, we'll go premium subscribers only. The rest of the show is totally free. This is our little extra bric-a-brac chat, which we always enjoy. We will start broadcasting Monday through Thursday again after the Labor Day holiday. So next week will be our last Monday off for the summer. Actually, no, Labor Day will. And so we have two more Mondays, and then we're coming at you Monday through Thursday. So we thank you for abiding this summertime schedule. It really helps a lot when you have three kids home. They're back in school now. We have a little more bandwidth. We really appreciate the patience. Okay, thank you for being here on YouTube. The rest of you, adios. See you later.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.